Hello, and welcome to Mother Daughter Earthcast, a show that will help you navigate the eco world and live a more colorful and conscious life. We'll inform, inspire, and embolden you.
And most importantly, we'll have fun along the way to a more planet-caring lifestyle together.
I really realized what a global issue water scarcity was. And it's something that's happening literally on opposite sides of the world, but affecting people in very similar ways. You can't live without water. And I wanted to do my part. I don't see myself stopping until we finally have some sort of water security in the world.
Welcome back to another episode of Mother Daughter Earthcast. This is Mariana.
And I'm Jenna.
And today y'all have the absolute pleasure of listening to our conversation with Shreya Ramachandran, who is honestly, I would say, the most creative young adult problem solver I have ever met. She is a senior in high school, and she has already been spearheading and leading in a nonprofit called the Gray Water Project for a few years now.
Yes, I think she started working with Gray Water when she was 14.
And she's just so passionate about water conservation, education around that, and teaching people how you can, you know, on small scale, but also large scale, conserve our precious water resources.
Yes, she realized whenever they were having the drought in California, and there was severe water restrictions, and she was like, but we could reuse some of the water that's coming out of the laundry. And she set up a very easy, simple system in her home where the water from the laundry went into their garden. And then she realized, well, you shouldn't be using detergents, and the chemicals shouldn't be going into the soil where the plants are growing. And she started using soap nuts that I believe her grandmother had introduced her to. She just has this all figured out.
She's so dynamic. And from an engineer's perspective, I love how she also took such a scientific approach to this. She didn't just, you know, connect a couple of pipes and away she went. She actually, y'all will be hearing, kicked her parents out of their master bedroom for a year and a half. Shout out to Shreya's parents. So because their bedroom apparently was the best place for her to conduct her research and tests on the plants that she was seeing, you know, how they reacted to the water that was going to be going into the garden. So listen, scientific method at its finest, and courtesy of Shreya's understanding parents. And honestly, we could sit here and list all of the awards and accolades that Shreya has won. She was awarded the President's Environmental Youth Award in 2017. She was also invited to be a member of the UN's Global Wastewater Initiative. The list goes on and on and on. She's just such an amazing young adult doing creatively different things to change the world in a positive way. And I love talking to people and connecting with people like that and just highlighting their work, because there's so many people out there doing great things that we don't always hear about. And I particularly love seeing young adults doing what they're passionate about. I still consider myself a young adult, but I am quite removed from the college age. So,
well, actually, sometimes I even consider myself as a young adult.
That's it. We can all be young adults.
Exactly. And she even developed a curriculum for children so they can learn about the Gray Water Project.
Yeah. And we touch on this in the interview, which we will be getting into in just a couple of minutes. But what's interesting is, I think within sustainability and environmental conservation, everyone kind of picks and chooses the areas that resonate with them the most. I've never, to be honest, resonated you know, super excitedly with water conservation, although I recognize it's a huge need and a huge global issue. But I love talking to people who are passionate about different areas of sustainability and environmental conservation than I am, because it, all the pieces of the puzzle are needed. And mm-hmm. this was just such a great conversation with Shreya to open up our eyes to globally the importance of water conservation and what she is doing with her nonprofit, the Gray Water Project. So if you want to learn more about the Gray Water Project, you can go online. They have an awesome website, which is the gray with an E, waterproject.org. Again, that's the gray waterproject.org, gray with an E. And they have their links to all of their social media accounts there and just a bunch of information on the curriculum and everything that Shreya is doing. So
I found our interview with her so informative, inspiring. I wanted to hug her. She's just amazing.
I know. I agree. I wanted to hug her too. And for those of you who join us on Patreon, this week's bonus episode with Shreya will be a behind the scenes on her laundry to lawn system. And she tells us kind of what she did to set all of that up. We'll include a little video so you can see it firsthand. And she just talks to us about how easy it is to divert your laundry effluent water to your lawn. And we kind of go into the nuts and bolts. So it's super informative. Go check it out on patreon.com/motherdaughterearth. And without further ado, let's welcome Shreya Ramachandran to Mother Daughter Earthcast. Here with Shreya Ramachandran, an amazing young entrepreneur. Well, would you consider yourself an entrepreneur, Shreya? You have an entrepreneurial spirit, that's for sure. You find an issue and you like go for it and figure out how to solve it. So Shreya, thank you for being here on Mother Daughter Earthcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so wonderful to get to meet you guys and talk about this thing that I really care about.
Well, the thing that you really care about, I'm assuming, is gray water and water conservation. And it's one of the reasons why I love talking to people and having them on the podcast. Is it's amazing how varied our interests are in sustainability and conservation in general. And I was talking to my mom when we were doing research to have you on, and I was just saying, you know, for some reason, water conservation has never been, for me, the thing that like sparks my passion for sustainability. Of course, I love it within the context of, you know, sustainable living in general and conservation, but I would say reforestation is way more exciting for me personally than water conservation. And that's why I love seeing a bunch of different people having their own little, you know, passions and sparks, because it's all needed as part of the puzzle. And so I would love, obviously we kind of know the answer to this because we've, you know, stalked you on the internet, but I would love for you to share with our audience and community how you got passionate about water conservation and how you started the Gray Water Project.
Yeah, your journey.
Yeah, for sure. I could definitely talk about that. And what you mentioned about water not being the first thing that comes to mind when you think of sustainability is very much true. And you're not the only one who thinks that. We often ignore water in favor of more hot button issues or things that are more appealing, like planting trees, or maybe we think more about the energy sector, or we might think about pollution and how it impacts underprivileged communities. And all of those things ultimately tie back into water as well, because it's such a universal resource and it's so essential for life that many aspects of sustainability sort of flow back into water eventually. So I think it's a very important thing to talk about. And I really care about preserving our water resources. So I started out, it's a little bit of a personal story, but About 5 years ago, California was in the midst of a really terrible drought all across the state. Mm-hmm. And where I was living, we had water restrictions. We weren't allowed to water our lawns. Everything had to be dry. And that was, I knew a little bit about it, but it really hit me how severe the situation was when I visited the county of Tulare for an archery competition. And there, people's wells ran dry, leaving them completely waterless. They had to truck water in for even basic needs like drinking or bathing. Wow. And I was very young at the time. And this was something that was just so unfathomable. Like, how was this happening in California so close to my home? But I visited India not long after that, and I realized that my home state is not alone in dealing with water scarcity. In southern India, the monsoons had failed year after year, and the land had become just so dry that it was unfarmable. And farmers who had lived on the land for generations, this was their ancestral villages, they had to move to the cities to find whatever work that they could. And it was through talking to these people, hearing their stories, that I really realized what a global issue water scarcity was. And it's something that's happening literally on opposite sides of the world, mm-hmm. but affecting people in very similar ways. You can't live without water. And I wanted to do my part. So I came home and I learned at school, you know, like the basic water conservation measures, like turn off the tap while brushing your teeth, take shorter showers, those simple household methods. So I started with that. I forcibly timed my parents outside of the shower, made sure everyone implemented water conservation. Yes, I was hardcore about it. And I found that it wasn't enough. Like those, they helped, but for the type of water usage reduction that I was envisioning, just those methods were not enough. They were the first step, but then that's when I started to investigate further. And that's when I found out about gray water, which is the lightly used water from sinks, showers, baths, and laundries. It's basically any water that's been used once and then can be used again. It's not gray water from your toilet, so it's not that. But it's not the clean water that comes out of your faucet either. It's sort of like a mixed thing. And right now what we have is that gray and black water go down the drain together, meaning that we lose the potential for gray water to be reused. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started doing more research into gray water. I've actually done 4 years of research to make sure that gray water reuse is safe. And when I talked to people in my community about this solution, I found that people just had no idea what it was or how it could be beneficial. And that's when I started my nonprofit, the Gray Water Project, to promote the safer use of gray water and water conservation, to have conversations about this issue and its possible solutions.
You're amazing. I'm starstruck.
I know. I'm so proud of you. I am.
She's having a mama moment.
I am.
And I love it. I love it because it reminds me of a conversation we were just having the other day with one of my college friends, actually. And she founded a company called Chirps, and it's all about educating, but also promoting products that have cricket protein. And very similarly to you and your story, she and her co-founder identified a huge systemic issue, because what you're describing truly is, at least in the United States, a systemic issue. And she identified that opportunity and went for it and went to create a whole solution around it. And I honestly think that's the future of companies, nonprofits, whatever it is, but that's the future of how our systems thinking should be. It can't just be profitable. It can't just be good for your pocketbook. It has to tick these boxes. And especially in areas like water conservation and water use, there's so many leaks, if you will, or in the system, right? There's so many ways we can be making it better. And I just super applaud you for recognizing that at such a young age. I mean, when I was 12, you were 12, right? When you first kind of had that realization, man, when I was 12, 13, 14, we were just talking about this at dinner last night. Like, I was out heels on partying in Mexico. Like, I was not thinking about water conservation and saving the world. So super kudos to you. This is, I love it.
So tell us about the Gray Water Project. What do you do? I know that you have developed some school curriculum. Tell us about your project.
Yeah, for sure. So the Gray Water Project, I obviously promote gray water reuse and water conservation. And there's numerous ways I do that. The one that I started with was doing workshops and presentations. And that's at schools, libraries, community, corporate events, basically any way I could get the word out and talk to people about gray water. For younger ages, I talk about like the water cycle and then the human water cycle and simpler water conservation techniques. For homeowners and people who are older, I talk about how to install laundry to lawn systems, how to install water recycling systems, and ways to do that at a larger scale. In addition to that, as you did just mention, I do have an NGSS-aligned STEM gray water curriculum, which is for elementary and middle school students. And the idea is sort of to introduce students to the idea of water conservation and gray water reuse early so that they understand it and they're able to make it a part of their everyday lives. And I always compare water recycling to paper or plastic recycling, because if you have some crumpled up paper or a plastic bottle, you know that the right thing to do is to recycle it, to give that item a second life. And you sort of want to do the same thing with water. You want to be able to reuse or recycle that water as well. So that was the idea behind creating this curriculum. And so far, it's been implemented in 90 schools, impacting about 45,000 students. Ooh. And it's available for free for teachers and educators.
Awesome.
So if anyone is interested, you can contact me for a copy. And it's also available through a variety of other sources, such as PBS, Stanford Science in the City, and more. In addition to the curriculum, I'm also launched a climate ambassador program to empower other young people to take action. So through the program, you learn about climate leadership, and you also get to implement a change project in your own community. And this year, the program is going to be sponsored by National Geographic, which I'm extremely excited about.
We saw that, and that was on our list of questions to ask you about, actually. So tell us a little bit more about that ambassador program. How did you come up with it? What's the overall goal? And, you know, 5 years down the line, or what's the vision for that program and mission?
Yes. So the idea is to make sure that students have the leadership skills to do work in their communities, like positive community involvement. And they also have the science behind it and the connection to water issues when they're working in their own communities to do environmental service projects. And the service projects that I'm hoping that students will take on do not necessarily have to be water related, but through the training program, they will gain knowledge about a broad range of environmental issues, from energy to food waste to water conservation. And they'll also get training in terms of public speaking, understanding policy issues, working with other ambassadors to sort of form connections and do that networking. And it's just a way for you to, if you're a young environmentalist who's not quite sure where to start, or maybe thinks that they might need a little bit more of resources to support them, then the program is a great way to get some of that, as well as funding for the project that you will do as part of the second portion of the program. So I think it's going to be super amazing. And the official kickoff is going to be in April.
Oh, man. Oh, congrats. What? That sounds impressive.
Wonderful.
That is impressive. How are you going to keep this going whenever you're in school full time, too?
In college.
College. I know you're in school right now, but for our listeners, Shreya is going to be off to college soon. She's still deciding. But how are you going to do this all, Shreya?
Well, and how have you been doing?
And how have you?
Yes. I mean, how do you get school going, run an organization. You do your schoolwork, you run an organization, you
are changing the world.
Yes. come up with a curriculum. So tell us
how. Connecting our young environmentalists. Tell us how, what does your day to day look like? How do you manage it all? I think it's a great message, especially for younger, leaders, entrepreneurs, visionaries. Tell us a little behind the scenes of the Shreya lifestyle.
And clearly you have some people helping you.
Mom's putting in a plug for your parents. I don't know. I'm translating that.
My day to day routine is not perfect. There are times when I can get super overwhelmed with schoolwork or super in depth with Greywater project planning. And then I will be one day before an exam and oh gosh, I haven't studied for this yet. But overall, I think I've gotten better at it over time because I love learning and school is an opportunity for me to do that, especially in the last 2 years of high school where I've been able to choose my own classes. Mm-hmm. I can choose classes that I love and I enjoy studying. And at the same time, I love doing the Greywater project. So I try my very best to make sure that I have a healthy balance of all things. Now, does that always 100% work? No, but it's pretty close and I'm able to do the best I can.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I am totally there with you with love of learning and college. That's one of the reasons why we were having a little chat before we went on air. But it's one of the reasons why I have such great memories of my time in college, because you're just immersed in a situation where there's just learning all around you. That's literally what you're there to do. And so I'm excited to follow you and your journey and see how that gets complemented by all the learning with the Greywater Project. And you're going to meet such amazing people from around the world. And I'm so excited for you. That sounds great.
And so many times Mariana will say how much she misses being in college and just the conversations in the dining hall and whatnot. It wasn't just learning in the classroom that mm-hmm. you miss.
Right.
It's just being around everyone and bouncing ideas off of each other. And yeah
we're excited for you.
Well, most definitely. So
Mom and I sometimes have to see who's gonna get to ask the question. You can go ahead.
Paper, okay. Scissors.
So I want to ask a question for Mariana's husband Toby, who is super handy around the house, and he listens to our podcast, and I know after listening to you he's gonna want to put in a gray water system in their home. And I know Mariana will want him to. So tell us how much does it cost to put in a gray water system? How long does it take to install it, generally speaking? And you were saying sinks. Well, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's just ask that question first.
Yes. So there are different types of gray water systems. The simplest is a laundry to lawn system. And in many states in the U.S., you don't even need a permit to install that, especially in California. So that's the easiest to do. So that would be taking gray water from the laundry and putting it out for irrigation. If you want to install a system that's more holistic for your entire house, something that includes sinks, then that you would need to pull a permit for that. And that would require dual piping throughout your home, which is a little bit more complicated and much more house individual. And so I wouldn't be able to generalize that as much.
Of course.
I would like to talk about the laundry to lawn systems, because those are super easy. And when I'm still a teenager, and I was able to put one into my home with a little bit of help. And if I could do it, at the age of 14, 15-ish, then you can do it. So that would be my selling point, because it's actually super easy. So how it works is you have your laundry machine, right? And then behind it, there's essentially a drain hose that goes out to the drain. Mm-hmm. You're just taking that, connecting that to a three-way valve. It gives you the ability to either send the water out to your garden or down the drain. So it gives you the opportunity to make that decision. From there, it's a system of 1-inch PVC pipes. There's an out through your out to the garden. And at the outside, you would switch from like a white PVC to one with purple stripe piping to indicate that it's recycled water. Mm-hmm. And then you have a mulch basin around the base of the tree or the plant that you're interested in irrigating. And you connect that pipe all the way to the mulch basin and let the water flow out into an underground emitter box at the base of the plant. And it's genuinely that simple. It's minimal components, like a couple of valves, some pipe, some boxes that are plastic, and some mulch to get the rest of the system set up. And then every year or two, you just check in on it and make sure that there's no clogging and everything is all fine. And it works for the majority of homes if you have a garden that you want to irrigate and you do laundry. And I'm assuming that you do laundry. So that part is taken care of.
My husband does most of the laundry in my house. He's really good at it. And for those on Patreon with us, Shreya in the bonus material for this week is actually going to go in depth and give us her like a sneak peek, lessons learned on how she installed her laundry to lawn system. And we're actually also going to touch on laundry soaps versus detergents and what you need to know for that when you're going to be putting the water into your garden. So head over to Patreon for that extra little bit of info. But going back to the system, roughly how much would you say it costs? Like rough estimate.
You can get it done for about $80 to $100.
Oh, really? Which is nothing.
Not that bad. If you buy everything newly, if you go to Home Depot and buy new piping and all of that, if you get it reclaimed, you can reduce the cost a little bit further. But that would be the average price.
My lands.
That's definitely doable.
So Shreya, you have a real connection between the water, the gray water, and the type of laundry soap you need to be using. And you always talk about the soap nuts. Can you please tell us about that and why that's important and not just, you know, Tide detergent pods?
Yeah, so I talk about soap nuts because, first off, they're actually cheaper than an organic or a non-organic detergent because just per unit, you can get more uses out of them. So actually, let me backtrack a little bit. Soap nuts are a little berry shell, and you put them in water and they'll actually release soap. So they're a natural alternative laundry detergent. And to use them, you just put 4 or 5 in a little cloth bag and throw them in with the rest of your laundry. And then when you take that laundry and you want to put it in the dryer or out to hang, you just take out the little bag with the soap nuts and leave that out to dry as well. And you put about 4 or 5 in the bag and you can reuse those up to 10 times.
Oh.
So and when you'll know when they're done because you can see they get all crinkly. And they're biodegradable and compostable, and they're extremely environmentally friendly. Especially if you are someone who's conscious about like plastic waste and reducing that, they usually, when you get them from suppliers, they will come in like a cloth bag as a whole. So you don't add to the plastic pollution problem, which I think is an added bonus. So you use soap nuts because you want to make sure that you're using laundry detergents that do not have things like soluble salts or boron in your detergent, because those can then accumulate in the soil and then the plant, and those can be very detrimental to soil and plant health. Mm. For example, if you have a detergent like some Gain products that have boron and borax as one of the primary components, then that can actually cause plant death further down the line, because those components just accumulate in the plant tissue. So you want to be cognizant of that, but it doesn't mean that you can't use gray water, because you just have to make sure that you find detergents that don't have those components. So if you can't find soap nuts, then I would recommend maybe doing 7th generation or EOS are generally good bets, but of course check the ingredients list. And if you're interested in getting soap nuts, they're available at several local retailers, but you can also get them off of Amazon if you can't find them anywhere else.
Nice. And in the bonus, we're actually going to go through with Shreya our 2 favorite laundry soap/detergents and see if it gets the Shreya stamp of approval. We're going to see if we're actually using you know, appropriate detergent because Toby
or soaps
because Toby, now that we're going to be installing this system at our house. Okay. I want to backtrack a little bit to the concept of gray water. Mm-hmm. So toilets, no go. That's black. We know that. Kitchen sinks, also black water, correct? Because you have oils and food residue, et cetera, et cetera. So, but bathroom sinks are considered gray, right? Mm-hmm. So then what about like toothpaste and, I don't know, shaving cream? What about all those other cosmetics that, and that obviously have ingredients that we can't necessarily control as much, or no, we can, we probably aren't as good at it, going down the sink and possibly ending up in your garden?
Yes. So if you are diverting gray water from your sinks, then generally it's a good idea to filter the water, because for a laundry to lawn system, the reason it's so easy is because the things that go into it are very simple and there's no filtration necessary if you use the right soaps and detergents. If you're going to do a larger gray water system, then you want probably have some sort of filtration process. And another thing that you can do is you can actually reuse that gray water for something like toilet flushing. Mm-hmm. It's insane to me that we use clean water to flush our toilets. It's something that not a lot of people want to talk about because it's a very taboo topic. People are like, ew, gross. But like, if you think about that for a second, it's insane. So that's one very good use of gray water. That's also doable with that method.
I like that. And I'm there with you, preaching to the choir. Why are we flushing our excrements with drinkable water? I mean, come on, we can do, there's room for improvement for sure. Well, thank you. That definitely clarifies. And it's true. Your laundry is one source and you can control that so much easier than all of the sinks in your house. And it can definitely be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were reading that you have several chapters of the Gray Water Project around the world, correct? So tell us about that and about your expansion and what do these chapters do? And along with that, what do you see the Gray Water Project being 10 years from now, 20 years from now? What's that larger mission or vision that kind of really keeps you going?
Yeah, it's really wonderful because a lot of students and other people have reached out to me saying that they want to do actions of the Gray Water Project in their local regions and hold events and really engage the community on the same things that I'm working on doing. So Gray Water Project chapters generally do a lot of the same events that I did when I first started out. They hold the workshops, they work with schools, they do environmental service projects. And it's great because a lot of water issues are very regionalized. Mm-hmm. And you might have like some non-point source pollution in a local river, or you might have like a flooding issue that is in one region, but not in another. So it's great to have people working with boots on the ground in local areas so that they can target problems that might be more regionalized and require like local support. For the future of the Gray Water Project, I don't see myself stopping until we finally have some sort of water security in the world. It's a big issue. It's not going to be solved right away, but global water scarcity is genuinely one of the greatest challenges that my generation faces. Mm-hmm. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Everyone needs water. And as more and more people inhabit the planet, we're not getting any more water resources. Mm-hmm. We have to conserve what we have. We have to protect what we have. And when water resources become scarce, you have a real threat to human life. The goal for the Gray Water Project is to mitigate those situations and help provide solutions, implement those solutions before it's too late.
100%. And this sounds grim to think of it this way, but you and your work are stopping future wars, because that's exactly what everyone is saying. The wars of the future will be around water and water security. So thank you for stopping future wars, Shreya, single-handedly.
Thank you.
Here's a little side note question. Do you know what you want to study in college?
I'm thinking something to do with environmental science, but I'm also a little bit interested in the policy aspect as well as pure biology, because I do see myself as a scientist. I've done a lot of research and I know that environmental problems require novel solutions, and science is one of the best ways that with which we can provide those. However, we also know that policy implementation is somewhat lacking in the climate sector, and being able to work on the other side of that issue would also be very rewarding for me, and it's something that I hope to do.
That's awesome. If you ever want to chit chat about that, my major was environmental engineering, and my minor was earth and planetary sciences. So I was like in the earth boat all 4 years. And what I love is, you know, when I graduated from college in 2013, people asked me, what the heck is environmental engineering and what do you do? And now I don't feel like people are asking that as much.
Yeah.
Even like when I graduated from college, I couldn't say the words climate change or global warming
to a lot of people.
No way. Like those had to be very carefully brought out of the vocabulary. But now it's so different. And so I consider myself still a very young individual. But even in the time that I have been in, you know, the adult corporate, you know, working world, I have seen such a shift around environmentalism as a profession, as a career, and a shift in the perspective of climate change and global warming. So I'm super excited for you and your track. Have I said this before? And if you ever want to chat.
Yes, I appreciate it. And I definitely agree, because we've seen a shift in public perception. Mm-hmm. There were always people who cared about the planet. There have been people who've been caring about the planet since like the 70s with the first Earth Day and even before that. But that shift in public perception has not really precipitated as much of a shift in public policy. It hasn't precipitated as much of a shift in how we educate our future generations in terms of climate education. So
100%.
That's one of the reasons why I work on both of those things with the Greywater Project, and why I think more people need to be doing this sort of work.
Yes.
Because it needs to be done.
We're right there with you.
It's critical. And what you are doing, getting this message out to the younger generations who will grow up to make the future changes, it doesn't get more important than that. Thank you.
I agree. Well, Shreya, we're going to be wrapping up our podcast public portion of our chat with you. And before my mom asks you the question she always asks all our guests, I want to just open it up to you. Is there anything we haven't asked you, or is there anything in general that you want to leave our listeners with in terms of your message for them, and you know, anything you want to share that we haven't asked you
and
about?
And how they can get in touch with you and support you and your project.
Yeah. That was coming too, but thank you, Mom. Yes, that too.
Yes, for sure. If you want to learn more about the Greywater Project, then the easiest way to get in touch is to visit my website, which is www.thegreywaterproject.org. And that's gray with an E. So when you type it out, it's like G-R-E-Y. Mm-hmm. So that's the easiest way to get in touch. And you can find information about all of the programs, about the ambassador program, about the curriculum. You can contact me for workshops or presentations or any other collaborations that you can think of. That's the best way to get in touch. And I also would like to just briefly say that as a young person working in the environmental space, sometimes it's very difficult for people to take you seriously, because you're young, people assume that means naive, and you haven't had as much experience with the world as like some other people. But I want to just say to any other younger listeners who might be tuning in that shouldn't stop you from trying to make a difference in the issues that you care about, whether that's within the environmental realm or not. Just go out there and be the change, and Like, we young people, like, we're the future. We're awesome. Mm-hmm. And yes, we're going to be like amazing. So just get that out there. And I hope this was at least somewhat inspirational. And I encourage you to like get involved in your community with the issues that you care about.
Thank you so much, Shreya. You are so inspirational. And when you were saying that, I like in my head, I was like, we are awesome. And then I was like, wait, am I a young person still? I don't know.
You count as a young person.
I count. I'm a millennial.
I'm still young too.
Mom's still young. She's included in the we too. We're all awesome.
I always tell people I'm extremely youthful for my age. And I care a lot for the environment. And I am just so excited that you have taken this project on and you care about it so much and you're so passionate about it. It's critical. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And it's so true. No one is going to solve this problem for us. And at the end of the day, Shreya, you and I and our generation are going to be the ones stuck with the consequences and growing up in a world in which hopefully will be a great place to live, but that's up to us and our choices are going to be critical. So 100% with you. I agree. Mom, you're up with your final question for Shreya.
Okay, Shreya. So we ask everyone this at the end of the podcast. What is the most important thing that each individual can do to help reverse global warming and climate change?
Ooh, I think I've touched on this before, but the number one thing is get involved. Mm-hmm. It's not that, I think that individual action is super important and you have to like change your lifestyle a little bit if you want to tackle climate change, because individual carbon emissions are significant, but that can't be the be all end all. There has to be a step after that. So I would encourage everyone to learn about what the climate impacts are in their local region, because it varies. It's not just sea level rise for everyone. It's going to be like increased flooding, increased drought, warmer winters, colder winters. And if you know what the impacts are for your home, your block, your city, that's going to push you to action. And hopefully that will, you'll get involved with community groups, you'll get involved with national organizations, you'll get involved with the Greywater Project. Yes. to make a difference, because everyone has the ability to make a difference, and we should take advantage of that.
I love that. Shreya, thank you so much for being here with us. I will link all of the links, the Greywater Project and whatnot in the show notes, so people have easy access to that. Y'all definitely go check out what Shreya, her amazing work with the Greywater Project. You have tons of videos on YouTube and whatnot, so go stalk her on the interwebs, because we did and it's really fun. And you're just going to leave being super happy about the world. But anyways, Shreya, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. As I said, I cannot wait to follow you and your amazing journey, and can't wait to see all that you do in the years to come and everything that you continue to do to help our world and our planet and our environment. And my mom and I are always here to support you in anything that you need. You have two fans over here in Dallas, Texas. So thank you again for being on the podcast with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you much for sharing your time and passion and expertise with us. It's inspiring.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking with you both.